Today's Shir Masechta Nida Da Beis. We begin today Masechta Nida, the last Masechta in Shas, the only Masechta on Seder Taharis. Interestingly enough, Seder Taharis, as far as Mishnayis is concerned, is the longest Seder with the most Mishnayis, but in terms of Gemara, the only Masechta we have on Seder Taharis is Masechta Nida. As the name of the Masechta implies, the primary subject of this Masechta are Hilchos Nida, that a woman, when she has a period, when she has a discharge, she becomes Tameh. In fact, when we think about Hilchos Nida, we think about Hilchos Nida in terms of a husband and a wife having relations when they may and when they may not have relations. But actually, Hilchos Nida is not limited to that. Hilchos Nida also includes Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, a Nida's Tameh. What she touches becomes Tameh. Were someone to have relations with her, they become Tameh. And in fact, perhaps from the perspective of the Gemara, that is more of an issue than the issue of the having relations, because that affects her day-to-day life, what she makes Tameh or not. I always emphasize that before we say what we're going to say, this is the din midaraisa. Midrabbanan, this isn't the din. The din midaraisa is that a woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. First, she has a cycle of 7 days during which she can become a nida. And if she has any discharge during those days, she becomes a nida. But the halacha of a nida midaraisa is that after 7 days, if she's no longer seeing any discharge, she could go to the mikveh, and she's fine. Then begins a cycle of 11 days. The cycle of 11 days are the days of ziva. And if she sees dam 1 or 2 days, she's a zavah kedhana. The halacha of zavah kedhana is that she shemeres yoyim keneged yoyim. If she sees 1 or 2 days, she has to remain clean for 1 day afterwards, and if she does, she goes to the mikveh, and she's fine. If she sees for 3 consecutive days, then she becomes a Zavah Gedayla. And the halacha of a Zavah Gedayla is that she needs to have Zayin Nekiyim, 7 days without seeing any dam. The 7-11 days, again, according to a Rashi and most Rishonim learn, are a constant. That means, if let's say she'll see dam on day 10 and day 11, she can't become a Zavah Gedayla. Because day 12, she's already a Nida. Because it's already, the 11-day cycle is over. So that's the din midaraisa, that she has the 7-11 cycle of life. However, as we know, that's the din midaraisa. As we know, the halacha is, B'nais Yisrael HaChmir Al-Atzman, Amr Abzeira, B'nais Yisrael HaChmir Al-Atzman, Jewish women are careful, Shafila Roy, Stipa Stam Kechadol, even if they have the most minimal discharge, Yeshevus Lov Zayin Nekiyim. They sit Zayin Nekiyim. And that's the halacha b'zman hazeh, that nobody should ever do differently. Interesting to point out, the Tana in Pirkei Avos say, Kinim u'pischei nida hein hein gufei halachas. The primary halachas that we need to learn are Kinim and pischei nida. Why does the Tana Pirkei Avos call it Gufei Halachas, such important halachas? So, the Mefarshim explain, simple pshat is because they're difficult. And people avoid learning what's difficult. So the Tana says, no, this is what's important. Another pshat, hein hein Gufei Halachas, is because they're complicated. Keeping track, we learned in Masechta Kinim recently, they're going to be Gemaras and Masechta Nida, also they require concentration, but the Tana teaches us hein hein gufei halachas. They're crucial to our being able to live the way we're supposed to live. In fact, the Rishonim already say by somebody learning Hilchos Nida, that is the best prevention to be careful and be successful in keeping the halachas of Taharas and Mishpacha. Learning Hilchos Nida brings tahara learning Masechta Nida brings Tahara to our lives, which of course is the highest Madrega. There's an interesting Gemara Masechta Megillah, Daf Chav Ches. The Gemara Masechta Megillah, Daf Chav Ches says, the quotes the Reb Zera that we just mentioned, Am Reb Zera, B'nai Yisrael Chmir Al Atzmam, Afilu Roy is Tipus Tam Kechadol, Yosh V'zayin Akiyim. And then the Gemara goes on to say, Tanit Be Halyo, another Gemara that we're well familiar with, Tanit Be Halyo, Kol HaShana HaLochus, Muftach Loi Shuben Oilam Haba. Shenema Halichas, Oilam Loi Al Tekri Halichas Ela HaLochus. So the Farshim connect these two Gemaras. And they say as follows. Learning our Masechta, given the introduction that I just gave, one could suggest, why do we need to learn this Masechta? If I just said that our minig, it's not just some sort of a minig, it's the halacha, that a woman has any discharge, she has to sit side in the kiyam, so all of the questions that are going to come up, almost not relevant, la halacha. So one could think, why should we learn this Masechta? What's the difference? So there's an interesting tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that even though Bizman Azeh we have this halacha, that any discharge, women have to sit Zayin Nakiyim, when Mashiach comes, Mitzvashem B'meir B'yameinu, the halacha will revert back to Din D'Oraisa, that I said at the beginning. So the Gemara is very beautiful. Amar B'Zayir B'Nais Yisrael L'Chmir Al Atzmam, that Fil Roy is Tipus Dam Kechardel, Yosh V'Zayin Nakiyim. So once you learn that statement of Rav Zera, the question that comes up in your mind is, why do I have to learn Masechta Nida? So says the Gemara, Kol Hashana Halachos B'Chol Yoyim, Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. The Jew that learns Hilchas Nida, learns Masechta Nida, even without being relevant to our day-to-day life, what is that Jew? That is a Jew that shows that he has Amunah. It's a Jew that lives with Amunah, the Mashiach is coming, and what we're learning in this Masechta will be so very relevant, so very soon. Such a Jew is a Ben Olam Haba. Such a Jew deserves Olam Haba. Such a Jew that lives with Amunah. Furthermore, the importance of Hilchas Nida, some of Farshim point out, is evident in the first word of the Masechta. The first word of the Masechta is Shammai. Now, we who are now approaching the Siyum HaShas have encountered machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel numerous times, Baruch Hashem. But usually when there's a machloikas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Here we find that it was Shammai and Hillel themselves arguing this halacha that we're about to learn. Why? Because when it comes to Hilchas Nida, when it comes to Taras HaMishpacha, they didn't rely on anyone else. They didn't rely on the Talmidim, on the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel to do the discussion. They led the discussion their very selves. Why? Because what Taras Mishpacha, as we said a moment ago, represents, it represents the Tara of the Jewish home, but also represents the Shalom that exists in a home between a husband and a wife. And they didn't rely on anyone else to have that discussion other than themselves. Because, like Machzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we finished, as we start ending Yishas, like Matzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha Ela HaShalom, which Hilchas Nida represents. So our Mishnah Gemara discuss a very fundamental issue. Midaraisa, an Isha is only a Nida if she has a flow of dam that she feels. It's called Zivas Tavolach. That she feel that she has a Hargosha. What happened in our Mishnah, says the Mishnah, Shammai Amikol Noshim Dain Shatan. A woman, in the way Rashi explains, and we're going to learn with Rashi's Pshat, did an examination, did a Bedika, and she discovered Dam on her Bedika. The question is, when was this, did this Dam just come now? Was this Dam here from before? And that's the issue that's being addressed. And Shammai Amikol Noshim Dain Shatan. Shammai says that if we see the discharge now, we could safely assume that it only came now. We need not be concerned that she already is tamei from before. Hill disagrees. Hill says, Mepkidel, Mepkidel, Filiyam, Harbe. Hill's opinion is that since we don't know when the dam came, we have to take the most serious approach. And only when we could definitely say that she was tahar can we assume she's tahar from that point. So let's say today is Tuesday, and the last bedika, pekida means that the last time she did an examination was Sunday, and at Sunday she was tahar, so Hillel will say that she only can be considered tahar from Sunday, from that last time, and from then on we have to be makamer. Pekida, as I said, means a bedika. Mefarshim discuss, why does the Mishnah use the word pekida? Why doesn't the Mishnah use the word bedika? So they answer, because a number of pshatim, because pekida means the command. As we're going to learn, women are obligated at certain times to do bedika. So it's not just voluntary, it's obligatory. Another pshat is pekida also comes from calculation. A woman has to make calculations, and the pekida is connected to that. Why does the Mishnah say, afilu yom harbe? The point is that from the last bedika, we have to be concerned. Why does the Mishnah use the word yom harbe? So Mefarshim explained that Hillel is telling us as follows. As we mentioned, and we're going to learn, there are times when women are obligated to do a bedika. So let's say today is Tuesday. And halachically, she was supposed to do bedika yesterday. But she didn't do it yesterday. She only did it on Sunday. So Hillel will say, we don't go from when she was supposed to do bedika. We look at when she actually did the bedika to count from only then can we be certain that she's tahar. There's a very fundamental point that we need to make in understanding Hillel. And as I said, we're going to be discussing this for a number of dafim. It's not that Hillel holds like this lahalocha, that it's absolutely certain that she's tamei. What Hillel is concerned is that she may be tamei. What do I mean to say? Firstly, it means that Hillel is only machmer with a suffix. It's not for sure. Furthermore, if it was kachim that she touched, which is actually what Hillel is discussing, we couldn't burn those kachim, because not allowed to burn kachim unless they're tamei. Here we're not sure, so we would have to let it just get spoiled. Furthermore, as we'll see in Mitzvah Shem and Al Shiurim, Hillel is only speaking about kachim, truma, perhaps chul and shenasu, altaris kachim, altaris truma. But by chul and food, that if a woman who's a nida touches chul and food, that food becomes tamei, but there's nothing wrong with chul and becoming tamei, Hillel will agree with Shammai. Because Hillel is only discussing a chumrah. Furthermore, the Rishonim discuss the wording of Shammai, of Dayan Shatan. According to Shammai, what's Shammai saying? Shammai is saying we only make a tamei from when she actually saw dam. What's this wording of Dayan Shatan? So I saw two very different approaches in the Rishonim how to understand Shammai. We know throughout Shas, the Gemara says, that one of the characteristics of Hillel was that Hillel was a very modest individual. So what happened, even though our Mishnah has Shammai's opinion before Hillel, that's because Hillel always was careful to first mention Shammai's opinion before he mentioned his own opinion. So what happened was as follows. Really, Hillel first stated his opinion. And Hillel said his strict opinion, that the woman is tamei from her last bedika. To which Shammai said, no, I don't agree. Dayan Shatan. But that's how that wording came. But the Ritva disagrees. And Ritva says that what does Dayan Shatan mean? Dayan Shatan means, according to Ritva, that it's even Shammai, who has this lenient opinion, will agree that it's not from after the bedika that we make her tamei, it's from the beginning of her bedika that we make her tamei. So let's say while she was doing the bedika, she also touched something, that item that she touched will become tamei. Now there's a very, very fundamental issue to talk about. In Rashi, that Rashi mentions. Rashi says that this happened through a bedika, which means as follows. As there's really two ways that a woman could see dam. One is that she senses that she's having an emission, and the other way is that she does a bedika and she finds dam on the bedika. As I said earlier, and we're going to speak about this because this is very relevant, la'aloch l'mais as well. The issue that's being discussed here is a woman who saw dam through a bedika, says Rashi. The Meiri disagrees. The Meiri says it doesn't make a difference. But Rashi, and that's the pshat that we're going to learn with, says it happens through a bedika. And the point being, according to many mefarshim, if the dam came out with a bedika, so it's only a tumah derabanan. That's why Shammai takes this lenient approach. If it would have been with a hargosha, it could be that Shammai would be more machmer. Or, some want to say that no, we want to show how machmer Hillel is, that not only is Hillel machmer by Hargosha, but he's even just machmer with a bedika. Chamaim, the Chum disagree, and they say, some sort of a compromise position. Like a divrei zeh, like a divrei zeh. They don't agree with either opinion that we just discussed. Elam eis leis v'matas aydem b'kidl b'kida, um b'kidl b'kida v'matas aydem eis leis. In other words, if we follow the opinion of Hillel, we look at when the last bedikah took place. And if the last bedikah took place many days ago, so according to Hillel, she's tamei from that last bedikah. The Chum can't agree that it should be so many days that the woman is tamei and she doesn't know. And therefore they put a cap on the extent of how long she should be tamei. The cap is 24 hours. So if the last bedikah took place after 24 hours, so then she'll be tamei from the last bedikah. If the last bedikah took place before 24 hours, she'll only be tamei for 24 hours. We're going to spend time discussing this in Mr. Shem in the Masechta, is that women have a veset. There are actually two types of vestas. There's a veset kavua, and a veset she'ena kavua. A veset kavua means that a woman has a set time when she's to expect a period. There could be a number of triggers. It could be a day of the month. It could be an interval, a certain interval between her periods. That's called a veset kavua. A veset she'ena kavua is a woman who doesn't have any specific time or trigger to bring her period. So says the Mishnah, kol isha she'esh la veset, da'yishata. If, however, this woman has a veset, so this woman has a time that she knows that she's going to expect the dam, so since she knows that she has a time when she's going to expect the dam, then everybody will agree, this is a posh pshat in the Mishnah, that we only have to be concerned that the dam came when she had the veset, not at any other time. So, as I said, most mefarshim explain that this statement of the Mishnah, kol isha she'esh la veset, is speaking to Shammai, certainly according to Shammai, but even according to Hillel and the Chachamim, who are more machmer, they will agree by a woman that has a veset kavua that we should be makel, that the dam only came when it's to be expected. Manan Mefarshim asked a very fundamental issue. The Tshuvah Sfarim discussed this. Chroinim. They ask, what is a veset? That she a veset kavua, that she has a specific time when she sees the dam. But if Hillel and the Chacham say that dam could come even unexpected and unknown, how does a woman ever establish a veset kavua? Maybe she was tamei before the time she thought. So some paiskim, and this is a very bechumra, say a woman cannot be established to have a veset kavua unless she did a bedika right before. Then we know for sure she did a bedika, and then right afterwards she became tamei. The bedika was fine. Then right afterwards she became tamei. That's the only way we can know she has a veset kavua, which would be a very big chumra, how to establish a veset kavua. Other achrayim, Dain Behuda says this pshat. Dain Behuda says, it goes back to what we discussed. Now, the Yehuda says, yes, we're chayshish, Hillel, the Chachamim are chayshish, that maybe something happened previously. But even Hillel and Chachamim who are chayshish, that something might have happened previously, it doesn't happen all the time. And the minimum amount of times you need to have had a riyah at a specific time to establish a veset kavua is three times. Three times we don't have to be worried for. The Stipler, it's very similar to the Noida Yehuda's word. The Stipler says as follows. The Stipler says, let's remember, and it's a long Tosfos, the first Tosfos. Even Hillel, who's being machmer, is only being machmer with Rabbanan. Hillel agrees that midaraisa, we only have to be choshed that it came when we saw it happen. So even Hillel, who's the machmer, but if it happened three times that the woman had it at a certain time, he wouldn't be concerned about anything else. But then, and again, this is relevant la'aloch l'mais, if a woman has a veset kavua especially. A woman who has a veset kavua means that there's a certain time and a certain date, on a certain day that she becomes tamei always. So let's say there's a woman that has a veset kavua that she always becomes tamei, she always has a period 12 o'clock at night, on a certain day, on the 30th day of the month. The aloch is, as we're going to learn, she is prohibited from having relations with her husband not only from 12 o'clock at night, but certainly from the beginning of the night. It may even be before. There's an arzurua, but we'll leave that for now. But certainly she's also from the beginning of the night. So here, our Mishnah is teaching us that a woman who has a veset kavua, that's all we have to be worried about. Why? We see that the veset kavua is not so firm because she's already osa from the beginning of the night. So we see that the veset kavua doesn't really prove that much. So the Mefarshim say a very important answer. Why is the halacha that if a woman has a veset kavua at 12 o'clock at night, and night begins at 8 o'clock, she already can't have relations with her husband at 8 o'clock? Because what we're concerned is that the tashmish and the chimur of the tashmish will bring about the period to come, will bring about the dam to come. But that's only tashmish. Amish is not talking about any tashmish, therefore the veset only means the moment of the veset. Says the Mishnah further, as we're going to see, it was very common that men and women, both before and after bia, would check themselves with cloth. That checking is considered a bedika. That will serve as an adequate bedika that the Rabbanan and Hill will hold. We're talking about the Rabbanan here, that they'll hold that from if that bedika was fine, we can be sure that till then she was fine. Now the Mishnah goes back to the previous halacha, ketzed dayishata, and all the Rishonim ask an obvious question. The Mishnah, we don't understand this Mishnah. The Mishnah said, kol isha sheyesh levesa dayishata. The Mishnah is about to explain that halacha. But first the Mishnah went diverted and told us the halacha of Amashemeshes Be'edim. Why did the Mishnah do it? Shouldn't the Mishnah have finished explaining the halacha of Vestas? So the Mishnah is teaching us a very bechidish, say to Rishonim. We would think, we just said that under certain circumstances, men and women have to do bedika both before and after Tashmish. So we would think that a woman who has a veset kavua, those halachas don't apply to. Teaches us the Mishnah that even a woman who has a veset kavua, when there's a chiv to do a bedika before and after the Tashmish, that rule applies to everyone. Continues the Mishnah, Ketza Dayishata. She's sitting on her bed, and she's touching Taris, or Pirsha Varasa, and then her period comes. He Tameya, so now she's Tamei. She had a discharge. Vahain Taris, because we assume that the dam only came now by her veset before she was completely clean. Concludes the Mishnah. Even though we said, so let's just understand the halacha. If a woman now saw dam today in the morning, but we don't know when the dam really came, so the Chum say, and the Bedika was a while ago, so the Chum say that she's going to be Tamei 24 hours back, and anything she touched in the last 24 hours will be Tamei, will be at least Suffolk Tamei. But we said at the beginning of our shir that a woman, once she has a Riya, whether she's a Nida or a Ziva, has to start counting 7 days. So when does the count begin? Now or 24 hours back? Says the Mishnah, Bishamra Matama Meisleis, even though we made her retroactively Tamei for 24 hours, that doesn't mean that we know for sure she's Tamei. And we only can be sure she's Tamei and only can begin certainly counting those 7 days and Amayna Mishash Rasa from Shuash, she actually had a Riya. Ask the Gemara, my Tam de Shammai. Why is the explanation of Shammai? So as the Rishonim explain, Shammai's explanation is fairly easy to understand. The woman was Tahar. She saw Dam now, so why would I say she was Tamei from before? So the Rishonim explained that what the Mishnah is trying, the Chronim and Rishonim both explain, what the Gemara is troubled is why Shammai isn't concerned like Hillel is concerned. Shammai holds, Hamid Ishal Cheskasa, this woman has a Cheskas Tahara, Vishab Cheskas Tahara Samedis, she remains with a Cheskas Tahara. But Hill Omer, Hill disagrees. We can't rely on a Cheskas Tahara. Why? Kichi Homer Dovel Cheskasai. When does Hill say we can rely on a Chazaka? Hecha de Lesle Reyes the Magufa. When there is nothing, when that Chazaka is a firm Chazaka. We can't consider this a firm Chazaka. Avil Itasa, Kivin the Magufa Chazia. And the way most Rishonim explain, this is what's called a Chazaka Suyu Lishtanis. A woman isn't going to remain tall forever. We don't rely on the chazaka. But, I have to repeat, as we said earlier, Even Hillel's taking this strict approach because it's a chazaka hasui l'shtanis, agrees that this is only osu midrabanan. And it's only osu by kachrim ta'aris. Because even Hillel agrees to the basic concept of cheskes tahara. This question of chazaka hasui l'shtanis is very relevant l'haloch l'maisa. One issue that the place can discuss is a question as follows. L'yaleinu v'l'yaleichem. In Hilchas Aveilus, there's a din of Shmuel Kuroiva and Shmuel Ruchaika. That if somebody becomes aware, Rachman Otzlan, that one of his close relatives for whom he has to observe Aveilus passed away, if he only becomes aware of this after 30 days from that individual's death, he doesn't have to sit a whole shiva. The minhag is it's an hour, maybe even less. If he becomes aware before the shloshim is up, he has to sit a full-fledged shiva. Again, in our world, this probably question doesn't come up so often anymore. But there used to be a time where communication was difficult. And somebody was made aware that a close relative of his passed away. And he's not sure, is it before the 30 days or is it after the 30 days? What does he have to do? Shag's Aryeh, based on our Gemara, says that everybody has a cheskes chai. So since the relative had a chazaka that he was still alive, you have to rely on that chazaka and say that he died at the last possible moment, and then you have to sit a full-fledged shiva. Many paiskim disagree, because they say what Hill said. Hill just taught us that a chazaka ha'suyi l'shtanois is not considered a full-fledged chazaka. Unfortunately, everybody dies. So the cheskes chai is not such a strong chazaka, because a chazaka ha'suyi l'shtanois, and therefore, we can't rely on that chazaka. And therefore, a lot of paiskim take a more lenient approach, and if there's a suffix, if the person should sit a full shiva, just an hour, they say they should only sit shiva for an hour. For two reasons. Number one is because by Avelis we always try to go lakula. And another reason is because not everything in life is black and white. Because sitting Avelis is taka a chumra, sitting shiva. But by sitting shiva you also don't do mitzvahs. You're not allowed to learn Torah. You're not allowed to do other mitzvahs. So it's not so sure that we should be machmer and tell him to sit shiva at the expense of not doing mitzvahs. In fact, the question comes up, I saw the Paiskim discuss, let's say somebody has a relative, a relative, somebody knows someone who's very sick. And the question is, should he continue davening for him? Or should he be concerned that maybe the person passed away? So there's nothing wrong to daven. But the question is, how far do we rely on the chazaka? It depends if the person was a geisus. Where this issue comes up very often is that the Magen Avraham says that every morning, before we put on our talis, we should check the tzitzis. We should check our tzitzis in the morning to make sure that they're still kosher. Now the question is, why? The talis has a chazaka that it's fine. And we're learning here in our Gemara that everybody agrees to that you could follow chazaka. The only one that's machmer is Hillel by a chazaka asui l'shtanis. Where's the chazaka asui l'shtanis with our tzitzis in the morning that we have to check for them? And in fact, because of this question, it's not something that we should practice. But let's say you come to shul late and you're anyway running late, and now if you're going to take the time to start checking your tzitzis, you're going to be later, and you may miss tefillah b'tzibur. Don't check your talis. Don't check your tzitzis. You can rely on the chazaka. But why do we check? So I saw a number of pshatim in the paiskim. One pshat is because it's a question of a brachah levatala. Because if you're not going to check, if your tzitzis aren't kosher, and you made a brachah l'sa'ati b'tzitzis, you are even a brachah levatala. Another pshat is that when do we rely on chazaka? Chazaka is not something that you rely on without, you only rely on chazaka when you have no option. So in our Mishnah, when we don't know when the woman became Tameh, so that's when chazaka comes into play. The tzitzis, you could just check. If you could check, don't rely on chazaka. And then the Paiskim, the Michal Shitzchak says a very interesting pshat. He says it's invariable, especially people have their talus for a very long time, that the tzitzis may become puzzle. At a certain point, they're going to become puzzle. The chazaka that we're relying on is not a chazaka that will last forever. Therefore, since it's not going to rely forever, so now, what are we going to say? When are you going to check your talus? There has to be some sort of a rule. So that's why the Paiskim say, check it every day. What is the nafgamina between all the pshatim that I just said? A very interesting shaila. Somebody has his dalad minim on Sukkos. So every day before you take your dalad minim, do you have to check if you're esrig and lulav or kosher? If we say that the reason is because of a bracha of atala, so you should have to check your dalad minim also. Because you make a bracha every day in your esrig, and if it's a pasul esrig, if it's a pasul lulav, it's a bracha of atala. If, however, the reason is because it's, and if the reason is because you could check, so this also you could check, and you should have to check them. If the reason is because it's invariable that your talus will become possible, that's because you could wear your talus for years and years. Your esrog you only have for 7-8 days, so that concern doesn't exist. And that's why the minig is that most people don't check the dalaminim every day. Ask the Gemara, why is our Mishnah any different from what we learned by a mikvah? And as the Mefarshim point out, the questions that we're going to learn in today's shiur from mikvah, from truma, from mishnayis or brises, are not compelling questions, because Shammai and Hillel are tanoim, and they have a right to argue on a mishnah and a brisa. So even if the mishnah or brisa that we're going to learn will not be consistent with their opinion, it wouldn't be such a problem. The point of our Gemara is just to help us analyze and really understand what do Shammai and Hillel really hold and why do they hold it. We know that a mikvah, to be a kosher mikvah, has to have mem saw. It has to have 40 saw. So says the Mishnah, mikvah shenimte v'nimtze chaser. You checked your mikvah and you found that it doesn't have the required 40 saw. So the halach is, kol taharus shenasol gabav, everything that was done, put into that mikvah, mafreya, anything that mikvah was used for, b'ein b'rishus yachid, as we know, and we will spend time in tomorrow's shiur learning, there's a difference between sofik tumah b'rishus rabim and sofik tumah b'rishus yachid. From Saita we learn, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, so I'm just going to mention briefly. From Saita we know that the halacha is that Sofik Tomei B'Rishus HaYochid is Tomei, Sofik Tomei B'Rishus HaRabim is Tohar. Says the Mishnah, here it makes no difference in the way most Mepharshim explain. It's not talking about where the mikveh is. If the mikveh is B'Rishus HaRabim B'Rishus HaYochid, it makes a difference where the taharis are, where these items are, whether they're B'Rishus HaRabim B'Rishus HaYochid, Tomeis. Ask the Gemara, L'Shamai Kashal Mafreya. According to Shammai, we followed the chazaka. We had a chazaka that this was a kosher mikvah, so we should rely on that chazaka, and until we should only assume that it became tamei in the last possible minute. It has a cheskes tahara. Lehil kasha vadai. But a hill, as we've been explaining, even hill, who takes the strict opinion in our Mishnah, dila meisel eis shebenida, when we speak about going backwards by Nida, it means loy oichlin v'loy sarfin. It's in a state of suffix. We can't eat what she touched, if she touched kachim, because we have to be concerned that she made them tamei. But we don't burn them either, because she might not have been tamei. V'lo hocha, here, what does the Mishnah say? Tuma vadai. The Mishnah seems to say that it's for sure tamei. Hillel's opinion was that it's only a suffix. How do we know that that's pshat in this Mishnah, that's vadei tamei? So I saw two pshat. One pshat is the Mishnah uses the word tameis. It seems to be a very absolute word, not open for any questioning. Furthermore, as we're going to learn at the end of this year, we're going to learn that Rav Shimon's opinion is that it's a suffix. The Tanna Kamma disagrees. So by learning that Rav Shimon, who's the man da'amah that holds it's a suffix, we see that the Tanna Kamma holds that it's vadei tamei. But in our Mishnah, Hillel doesn't hold it to Vade Tamei, he holds it to Safik. Answers the Gemara, Hasa Mishum de Ikla Meimer Hamitam El Cheskasa. There is a different reason. What happened? We had a person who was Tamei. He went to the mikveh. Simple story. He was Tamei, he went to the mikveh. And the question is, when he went to the mikveh, was the mikveh still a kosher mikveh or not? So since I don't know, I have to rely, Hamet Tamei El Cheskasa, Ve'emet Loi Tavel. We should say that he's still Tamei. As the Gemara Adrabah, Hamid Mikveh Cheskasa, Ve'emet Loi Chaser. So let's understand the Shakl of Atari. The Gemara first says, no, you know why we're stricter by Tumah? Because the person had a chesk is Tumah, and we don't know for sure that that Tumah was removed, because we don't know if he went to Kasher Mikveh. So the Gemara, no, we should prefer to look at the Mikveh than at the person. Adrab, look at the Mikveh and not at the person. And the Mikveh had a chesk that it was Kasher, a chesk is Kasher. So the question's obvious. Why should I look at the chesk of the chesk of the Mikveh than I should look at the chesk of the person? And especially, the Chumr is to look at the person. We always go l'chumra. We're maybe dealing with a deraisa here. So Mefarshim answer: Whenever we have a suffix, we have to look at the source of the suffix. What is the source of the suffix? The source of the suffix is not the person. The source of the suffix is the mikveh. And since the mikveh has cheskes tahara, when we want a paskin, we should look at the source, and the source should be fine. We can't ignore the fact that right now the mikvahs not have mamsa. Says the Gemara, if that's your position, and you look at what's in front of you, and if in front of you you have a mikvah that's not kosher, that's why you have to assume it was like that from before. So now Mishnah is saying, Haredam lefanecha, we have a woman that's tamei. Why are we saying that her tumah from before is only a suffix tumah? Answers the Gemara, because I assume, hashtu de chazor, yes, she's tamei, but I have to say she only became tamei in the last moment. So say the same by mikvah, asked the Gemara. Hachnami, hashtu de chazor, say yes, we have a posel of mikvah, but it only became posel the last minute. Answer the Gemara, hachi hashtu. It's not the same. Hasam, the Gemara assumes in the Havamina, a mikvah doesn't just become posel in a moment. There must have been a leak. Slowly but surely, the mikveh lost the required amount of water. The Gemara is learning in the Havamina that a woman becomes tamei in one moment. And therefore, the Gemara is assuming that a woman and a mikveh are different. A mikveh is an accumulative effort. Over a while became tamei, and that's why it was losing its chazaka for a while. Not a woman who becomes tamei in a second. Hasam iklamei mechasa v'asa chasa v'asa. Hachem iklamei mechasa chazoi v'asa chasa v'asa. Says the Gemara, my kasha. What makes you say, says the Gemara, that a woman becomes tamei in 1 second? Dum hagas hagas chazisa. What happened is, it accumulates dam, until it can no longer be held in a body, and therefore she becomes tamei. So we're back to where we started. Mikveh and a woman seem to be the same. And why are we machmer by a mikveh and make that tamei vadai, and in our Mishnah it's only a suffix tamei according to Hillel? Answers the Gemara, hacha hasam ika tate l'rusa, hacha ika chad l'rusa. Which means as follows. Over there we have two problems. Number one, we have a mikveh that doesn't have memsa. And number two, the person who went to the mikveh was tamei. Or the item that was immersed in the mikveh was tamei. So the way most mefarshim explain is, yes, we rely on chazaka. But there's only that much that you can rely on a chazaka de mikara. When can you rely on a chazaka de mikara? You can only rely on a chazaka de mikara when there's reason to rely on it. But when there's so many different factors attacking that chazaka de mikara, as the case of the mikveh, that you have chosel lefanecha, you have a case that the item was tamei from the beginning, then we can't rely on the chazaka de mikara. That's the simplest way of learning. There is, the Shef Shmaitz has a more complicated way of learning. We're going to learn with this pshat. Ask the Gemara, hacha, whereas in our Mishnah, the food that was touched was tar, The only reason that you have is that the woman now is Tameh, therefore we're more lenient in our Mishnah than the case of the mikvah. The halach is as follows. All produce that's grown in Eretz Yisrael, we have to take Trumas and Maestras. The halach is that you don't have to take, let's say you have barrels of wine, that's the case we're speaking about. You don't have to take from every barrel Trumas and Maestras. You could have one barrel from which you're taking. But ask the Mishnah, or ask the Gemara, I mean, or Maishna Mechavis, the Tanan, Hoya Baidik is a Chavis, somebody was being Baidik the Chavis, Lias Mafrish Ala Truma Vahoylich. The person is relying on one barrel of wine that he has at home, that's his Truma barrel. So every time he gets a new barrel of wine, he's relying that he has Truma in that barrel. And then he discovers that barrel that he's relying on became vinegar. He discovered that barrel that he relied on is vinegar. So Walsh Mepharshim explained, there's really a machloikas throughout Shas, if wine and wine vinegar are considered two different materials. And this Mishnah is following, maybe a braisa, is following the opinion that the wine and vinegar are two separate materials, and you can't use one for the other to take truma. Because if you hold the wine and wine vinegar is one, it will make a difference that it turned into vinegar. Others say, other Rishonim say, even according to that man Damar, if I want to take wine, and now if I want to take truma for wine, and not for wine vinegar, so I can't rely on that, I want wine, I don't want vinegar. And therefore, if it turns into vinegar, the afrosh is not a valid afrosh. Furthermore, the Mepharshim asked, how could I ever taste? How could I test it? This barrel that I have at home is tevil. I'm not allowed to eat tevil to know that it turned into vinegar. So some say simple tevil, it already smells like vinegar. And you don't have to taste it. Another pshat is you can rely on an akum. And the akum could tell you that a Jew's not allowed to eat tevil, an akum's allowed to eat tevil. So you have the akum taste it and tell you that it turned into vinegar. Another problem is how could this method be acceptable? That I have barrels of wine wherever I have them, and I'm relying on the barrel of wine that I have at home. Isn't there a halacha of min ha-mukif that you can't take challah or truma only when everything's near each other? So how did this ever happen? So some explain that the halacha of min ha-mukif doesn't apply by demai, and this Mishnah is speaking about demai. Another teretz is that sometimes Chazal were lenient on the halacha of min ha-mukif, Shabbos Yontif, they were lenient on min ha-mukif, and that's why you were doing this. So now it turned into vinegar. So the halacha is, Kol Gimel Yomer Shoinim Vadai Mikam Ve'elik Safik. It's actually Machloikis in the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra, how to understand this. The way Rashi says, this, we're following Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. It says like this, from the last time I checked it and it was wine, it was certainly wine for 3 more days. Because wine doesn't turn into vinegar, it takes at least 3 days. So let's say I checked it a week ago. So for the first 3 days after I checked it, I could be certain it was wine. Afterwards, I have to be chashed that it was vinegar. But now, kashal shamai, so it's a question according to shamai, we're not relying on the chazaka. We're saying that it might have turned vinegar. And now Mishnah, shamai relies on the chazaka that she was tar. Kashal shamai answers the Gemara, hasam shem dem ekel meimer, there again, because we could say, hamet tevel achaskasai, the fruit that I was using to take off Trumas and Maestras was Tevel. The Chazaka de Mikara says that it remained Tevel. V'ayim Eloi Niskin. Says the Gemara again. Why are we looking at the Tevel? Why don't we look at this wine? And again, why should we look at the wine more than the Tevel? Because this is the source of the question. Adarabba asked the Gemara, Hamad Yayin Al Chaskosoi V'ayim Eloi Hichmetz. Says you can't say Eloi Hichmetz. Harei Hichmetz Lefanecha. It is, reality is that it is vinegar. Says the Gemara, if that's your approach, and our Mishnah the same. You certainly have a woman who now is Tamei. What's the answer? Yes, she's Tamei. But Shammai says, Hashtud Chazoi, that the Tumah came the last possible moment. So why don't we say, ask the Gemara by the wine the same? Hasam Nami, why don't we say, Hashtuhu the Chichmetz, and only became vinegar in the last moment? Answers the Gemara, how could you compare the two situations? Hasam, iklamema, by the vinegar, we could suggest, hichmetz for asa, hichmetz for isa. becoming vinegar is a process. It's not a process. The Gemara assumes it happens in a moment. It says, Mar, that isn't true. Or my kasha, dem hagas, hagas chazite. The woman also accumulated dam until it expelled from her body. Answers the Gemara, hasam ikatatelarusa, hacha ika chadalariosa. Over there, there are two problems. One problem is that the food has a cheskas tevo. And number two is that this barrel is now vinegar. However, in our Mishnah, there's only one problem, that the woman now is tamei. And therefore, even though there we're machmer, here in our Mishnah, Shammai will take a lenient approach.